When the disciples asked Jesus, "What will be the signs of your return or second coming?" one prominent foundation he presented is life will be identical to the days of Noah. The obvious question is, what were the days of Noah like? And the follow-up is, where are the parallels in today's society? The first answer is found in Genesis 6, which describes a military strategy by Satan's army to invade the bloodline of man to modify his genetic codes, thereby preempting the bloodline to the prophesied Messiah. Since Jesus already succeeded and conquered death at the cross, what is the meaning of his message contained in both the Gospels of Matthew and Luke? The follow-up answer appears to be right in front of us. Join us as we unpack the scriptures and today's warning signs in the Nephilim, AI, and mingling with the seeds of men. Everybody, my name is Mark. You're watching and or listening to the Russick Outlook. Thank you so much for joining. Very excited about today's discussion. It's titled The Nephilim, AI, and Mingling with the Seeds of Men. Perhaps a strange title, I would agree. Mingling with the Seeds of Men comes from the book of Daniel, chapter 2, and it's part of what Daniel is giving the dream that King Nebuchadnezzar had, as well as the interpretation. It points to the existing global empire as well as the subsequent three empires that came to pass just as Daniel had prophesied. And then a fifth and final empire, a global empire that points to the time of the end, which is where I believe we are potentially looking at, which is why I wanted to break this down. And it's also a scripture that I've struggled with, what that means. And we're going to get into this because if we look around the headlines this year, particularly these past couple of months, here I sit in June of 2023, with that, I think what we're seeing, and I'm going to try to break this down and give you the scriptural backing to it, that what this means is potentially within grasp, I'll put it that way. And oftentimes, we, as believers, are in a position in the time that we're living in now that we can see things that past generations were not able to, pointing to the time of the end. And by that, I mean, very simply, if you were to look at the state of Israel, for instance, the fact that that came into fruition in 1948, and then all the other signs that Jesus points to would be happening that are conditionally based upon Israel being in the land, then we can say, oh, okay, I see where this is going. So that's part of what we're going to be dealing with today. We're going to be looking at the headlines of technology, and I believe that are pointing to, I'm going to break it all down. So before I do, please pause for a second. If you could, it would mean a lot. Please hit the like and the subscribe button, ring the bell, whatever the channel, whatever the platform you're on, and subscribe to our channel because it helps us get the information out there. I know you see this and hear this not only from me but from others, but it's true. It helps us jump up and meet the conditions of a lot of the algorithms that pushes it up. And again, my heart is really to share the gospel, to share the truth. And so the more people that can hear it or see it, you know, so much the better. So on that note, again, and if you could, go to Rumble. We're on YouTube, Rumble, all the podcast platforms, Apple, Spotify, Google, and there's some other things that are coming down the pike. But if you could, go to Rumble, it's because sometimes we have to put our videos there and not in other platforms because of the censorship that we've encountered a couple of times. RussickOutlook.com, if you could go there. We link to Rumble, but also if you could join our email list, we notify you of new events, new studies. You're going to be hearing about, finally, I've said this for a while, but we had a couple of delays, but in a couple of weeks, we're going to be doing our first of a series of podcast interviews with different people in ministry. So very excited about that. The recordings will take place at the end of June, and then we'll put them out there in sometime early July. But we notify you about that. And then we have some upcoming Zoom presentations where we engage the audience. We engage you, the listeners, so you can ask questions, comment, share information. So that's it. That's enough of the commercials. I appreciate it if you could do that. So let's get into this. All right, here we go. The Nephilim AI and AI mingling with the seeds of men. And as I said, I was pointing to Daniel chapter 2. And if you jump down to verse 43, if you're following me on the video, or verse 42. And as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. So he's talking about the strength of iron mixing with miry clay, so it's not adhesive, it's not cohesive. And what we're talking about, it's the first time I think I've had a prop. This is the statue or an artist's rendition of the statue of King Nebuchadnezzar. And we're pointing to these toes here that are partly clay or sand maybe and iron. And this is really what we're going to break down. So if you think about it, mixing sand or clay with iron, it's not going to stick. But I wanted to break down that term mingle, and I'll show you why in a second. I'm going to lay some foundational scriptures to start off with. We're going to share a couple more, but I want to lay a good foundation of where I'm going. So if you follow me on video, I'm going to put them up there. And for the podcast listeners, I'll be reciting it. The first comes from Genesis 3:15. And this is where I believe, it is. It's the first prophecy, and it's given to Satan, and what I say is Satan's death sentence. And the Lord says, after the fall of Adam and Eve, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. And it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt come to pass. So the emphasis here are on the words, as I've highlighted, thy seed and her seed. So Satan has a seed, and her being the woman, which alludes to Mary and the birth of the Messiah, her seed. So right off the bat, the stage is set. Next scripture I want to jump to is Genesis 6. And this points to the reason for the flood. And, you know, many, if not all of you, are familiar with this. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God, who are the fallen angels in this instance, the fallen angels that fell with Lucifer, saw the daughters of men that they were fair, and they took them wives, all of which they chose. So they married them. Okay, jump down to verse 4. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God, the fallen angels, came into the daughters of men, the women on earth, and they bore children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. So these mighty men are giants in the land. They're not mighty in the sense of, boy, you know, we look to them as some type of hero. They're actually, I'm going to say it, they're genetic freaks, and I'll show you why in a second, and I'll give you some video presentation for that. So basically, to set the stage, the Nephilim are these hybrid, part angel, part man, that were born into women, and I'm going to point to this in a second. So this really infiltrated the earth with pervasive evil, and hence the reason for the flood. So the Lord was so angry at the situation, he was ready to wipe out, and he did wipe out the entire earth with the exception of 8, which was Noah and his family. So that was the conditions of what Genesis 6 was. Why do I say that? Because this is what Jesus points to will be the sign of the end. I'm looking, you can find this both in Matthew 24, 37 through 39, and Luke 17, 26 through 30. Luke just adds a little bit more, so I'll jump to that, but they're both up here on the screen for you. As it was in the day, this is Jesus answering, I should have set this up a little bit better. So the disciples and the friends of his day asked Jesus, what will be the sign of your return? What will be the signs? And one of the foundational issues he lays here is it will be as in the days of Noah. So this is what I wanted to lay down because it will go to the next question, which I think comes naturally. And so it will be as in the days of the, let me read it again. As it was in the days of Noah, this is Jesus speaking, so it will be also in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all, likewise as it was in the days of Lot. They ate, they drank, they bought, and they sold, and they planted that they built. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained in brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even so, it will be as that day when the Son of Man is revealed. So the difference between Luke and Matthew is Luke also adds the description of it will be as in the days of Lot. And we know both of these were times of judgment from the Lord. But I'm concentrating on Noah because that's what Jesus starts off with, and it's also what Matthew laid down in terms of how he what he had written in his gospel of what Jesus said. So Jesus says it will be as in the days of Noah. They will be eating and drinking and marrying, basically carrying on, and then really that, you know, because they didn't believe Noah, it took them by surprise because they hadn't seen rain. And here he is, you know, all these years building this giant ark. So now I want to get into Daniel chapter 2, which is what we were talking about, what I'm calling Roman Empire 2.0, which is the future empire that will be reigning in the time of the tribulation. So here we go. And the fourth kingdom shall be as strong as iron, inasmuch as iron breaks in pieces and shatters everything, and like that, and like iron that crushes, the kingdom will break in pieces and crush all the others. So it'll be very, very powerful. And we know that the reason I say Roman 2.0, we know that iron was the legacy of the original Roman Empire. Whereas you saw the feet and the toes, partly of potter's clay and partly of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, yet the strength of the iron shall be in it, just as you saw the iron mixed with ceramic clay. So he's saying it will be strong, but it will not adhere. It will it will be severely limited based upon that. So it goes on here. And as the toes of the feet were partly of iron and partly of clay, so, and let me put this on video too, because if you can watch this on video, I'm highlighting certain words in the scriptures here. And so shall the kingdom... So the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly fragile. As you saw iron mixed with ceramic clay, they, so who is they, will mingle with the seed of men, but they will not adhere to one another, just as iron does not mix with clay. So this is really what I believe we are seeing today. I believe potentially we're looking at the answer to what this can be. And so... With these words, with the seed of men, mingle with the seed of men. So interestingly, I believe this is the only Bible. Daniel, first half was written in Hebrew, second half in Aramaic. So I wanted to look up both Hebrew and Aramaic in this. And so in the Hebrew, mingle means to marry. And in Aramaic, it means to commingle. That was... I just made up a new word. So, you know, I'm pointing to back to Genesis for a second, and they took them wives and they married them. And so here the Hebrew is saying mingle was the same as marry, Arabic commingle. You know, you could say that's potentially be look at marriage. And then looking at the Strong's Concordance, and it means to mix, to join together. So, you know, all of these descriptions are very, very similar. And so I have to go back to they will mingle. So who is they? They would, I believe, be a form of evil, could certainly be the sons of God, fallen angels, but at least the representation of Satan and the Antichrist. And they will mingle with the seed of men, but they will not adhere. So, you know, there you have it. That's what we're getting at. That's the foundation of where I'd like to go. So I want to just briefly touch on the Nephilim, the time of Genesis and Genesis chapter 6, because people will say that's, you know, if you're not familiar with it, perhaps that's really too outlandish. So I wanted to give you just a basic breakdown. and then show you the evidence that we see all around the world of this from times gone by. So again, I'm cutting back to video. And what I've written here is, does Nephilim contain genetic material similar to human DNA? Remember, it's not forming a man and a woman, it's forming a fallen angel and a woman. So what are those different substances, the different properties? Instead of having X chromosomes as earthly humans, could Nephilim and hybrids have a different set of chemical codes that make up their existence? And I would say yes, because I believe the reason I gave Genesis 3:15 is Satan was given his death sentence. He knows the Messiah is coming. He doesn't know when or how it's going to come in. So he's trying to stop the bloodline leading to the Messiah. And by doing that and by bringing in the genetics of fallen angels into women, he's distorting that bloodline. He's distorting the creation of man. Man and women made in the image of God. So you are special. You are specially created, specially made. And what Satan is doing is he's gone in and tainted that creation by altering the genetics of it, thereby producing what I would call hybrid freaks. So instead of that DNA, could there be something different, as such as an XYZ chromosome or some other type of code or package? So I've gone on here. The sons of God found a host in human women through which they could reproduce. So they're evil. See, angels, the difference between, there's a lot of difference, I'm sorry. But one of the things that I believe that fallen angels and Satan would be jealous of is we have that capability to reproduce. Thank God we have the women of the world here, and we have that ability to reproduce as what really God instructed us from the beginning. And I'll show you this in here as well. And they don't have that ability to reproduce. Angels are created beings that do not have that ability, but now they've commingled, if you will, with the women. So then I've gone on to say that it produces a fatalistic birth defect of being without the possibility of receiving God's redemption, which is true. Every one of us, whether you've received Jesus or not, you have that capability to receive him. A fallen angel does not. A Nephilim or a hybrid of a fallen angel with a woman does not. So human seed is sacred. It's special. And this is why I believe Satan was after it. He was after God's creation and wanted to halt the plan of God. And, you know, ultimately his ego is so big, he wants to ascend to be to be like God. So again, if you find some of this difficult to comprehend, if you're not familiar with the term Nephilim, if you look at the video, I just show you giant skeletons from all around the world, the different megalithic structures that you're all familiar with, from Easter Island to Peru, to the Incas, to the pyramids, to the Sphinx. All of these things, giants and, you know, things that we cannot possibly explain. For instance, the constellations that the pyramids align with and just how precise they're built. We cannot reproduce these things today with the technology that we have. Pumapunku is the stonework. It was terraced, earthen-bound, originally faced with megalithic blocks, each weighing several tons. The red sandstone and andesite stones were cut in such a precise way that they fit perfectly and locked with each other and without using mortar, and the technical finesse and precision displayed in these blocks is astounding. Not even a razor blade can slide between these rocks. So you're looking at that on the lower left, and that's the type of mastery and precision that we're talking about. It's the same thing when you look at the structural layout of the pyramids. It's just like, I think it's within 1/20th of an inch, each block, as it ascends up. It's called the ziggurat technology, or ziggurat, technique. Easter Island, these are 10, 13-foot heads, several tons. You know, we're all familiar with these things. We've seen these things. And they are beyond the scope of anything that man could produce. And it's something that historically people just try to gloss over as though, you know, we somehow did that back, you know, 5,000-6,000 years ago. But this is the pervasiveness of evil that we saw with the Nephilim at that time. And it was so evil that God brought about the flood. So now we're going to start breaking down into AI and why I wanted to get into this and how I think this kind of falls in line with some of the scriptures that we're seeing. Daniel chapter 12, and the angel says this, "But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end." Time of the end again, Roman Empire 2.0. "Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased." And for a number of reasons, we know it's the time of the end, but two things in particular in Daniel chapter 12 that I think is very clear pointing to the time of the end. He's talking about travel to and fro, so travel, and knowledge shall increase. Knowledge today, it doubled the first time at the turn of the 20th century, then again halfway through, just after World War II, and then I believe in the 80s, then at the turn of the century, so it was gradually increasing to the point now where it's doubling every 12 hours. So imagine close to 6,000 years of history and a little under, say maybe 5,800 years it took before knowledge doubled. Now it's at the point where it's doubling every 12 hours. And what I would say is we're going to get into artificial intelligence. This, in my estimation, brings a tsunami of knowledge. It just, and you know, we'll point to some of this. So this is why I say, and if you look at travel also, you know, we were looking at the turn of the 20th century. We were still on horse and buggy. Cars were just starting to come in to the point where, you know, we have these accelerated trains and planes, and, you know, people are now traveling into space. You don't even have to be an astronaut. If you're in perhaps good graces or friends with some of the richest people on Earth, they can potentially bring you for a journey in a rocket into space. So that's how much increase we've seen in both knowledge and travel. And this is pointing to the time of the end. So just some brief statistics of how information technology has increased. 80% of scientists that ever lived in the history of the world are alive today. That means their brains, their computational capabilities, their assessments, their theories, their experiments, their theses. So in other words, scientifically and technologically speaking, we have more of these humans on Earth and working collaboratively in most instances than we've ever had before. The average newspaper in one day, in digital newspaper, has more knowledge in one day than a person in the 17th century would know in their entire lifetime. So again, we're seeing the signs of knowledge increasing. 50 years later, I've got more information in this device, I'll be sure to point it that way, than I would at any other time. Technology information doubles every 18 months. Over 40% of today's jobs can be or will be replaced by AI, 400 to 800 million jobs. So for the first time in world history, mankind is not the most intelligent person, being animal on Earth. It is no longer the most intelligent. What do I mean by that? Well, again, to the video. Mankind can process information at thousands of megabytes per second. AI can process trillions of megabytes per second, and it can do so, and it basically thinks 100 times faster, 100,000 times faster than any human being, and it does not eat or sleep. So, you know, we're being dwarfed in terms of, if I were to compare myself to AI. You can collaborate, software teams collaborate, but they have to eat, they have to sleep, they have weekends, they have time off. But yet AI is constantly moving, constantly developing. So we're, again, for the first time in history, think about it. You know, man was created to subdue the earth, to take dominion of the earth. And now we're in a position where machine can take dominion over man. So, I don't know any other way to put it. So I want to break down, because we're going to be talking about technology interfacing with man, and this is a lot of what these people are looking to do with artificial intelligence. So I'm going to give you a very basic example that we can all readily understand. RFID stands for radio frequency identification. If you have a card, you want to enter a door, if you work for a certain company, if you need access, you have to have predetermined access that's put into a database, and you present that card, and if that magnetic stripe that has your identification in it and you've been authorized to enter into that door or open that rack or cabinet or servers or whatever it is, you have that capability. We all readily understand that. We're all seeing today that they're putting that in people's wrists and forehead. The technology is capable of doing it, and the tests are going on. So again, I'm pointing to the lower right-hand image. I'm giving you the example of that type of RFID going into somebody's wrist. So you would be able to just walk up to, you know, a door or an entryway. I do it. I don't have my Apple Watch on me, but I do have an Apple Watch. If I wanted to, I don't have my information in there. I could pay just by showing, you know, putting my wrist up to the sensor, and it would grab my information, my banking information, and be able to process a financial transaction. It's all there. You know, it's been there for many years. So Revelation 13, 15 through 17 says this: "And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man may buy or sell save the that have the number of the mark or the number of the beast or the number of his name." My point here is that technology that they're pointing to that alludes to well into the tribulation is here. It's in place, and the powers that be do this. So where I would say 10 years ago, I think it was really hard to grasp how close we are or really what this meant. But now we're at the cusp of seeing this scripture in Revelation that we can understand it. I'm going to give you some other instances of some other things that we see today. Facial recognition, we all know about that. If you're, you know, the law enforcement uses that to identify where people might be. There are cameras everywhere. There, especially in China, which has a massive security unveilance or surveillance system going. So they can see you. They can identify where you are, where you're traveling. Central bank digital currency is already well underway in a number of countries. I think we're up to a dozen now. America is very close to. I wouldn't be surprised if by the end of this year or certainly next year that is in place. And I've covered that before in the past. You now have, just a couple of weeks ago, digital health passports. This is being done in conjunction with the European Union and the World Health Organization, or WHO, WHO. So they just, I think it was at the beginning of June, they joined a partnership where you have to be able to say you took certain things in your arm. I'm going to put it that way. I have to watch what I say again. And, you know, this is the reason that I have to go to Rumble and some other things like that. So that you took that, and then it shows you that, okay, I have the passport for that. I was pointing to how they could confiscate your money, just as Revelation says. Same thing. They have all this information. And I give you an example of what happened in Canada last year when the truckers were fighting what we were just talking about that happened, that they wanted you to take these things, you know, in your arm. And they confiscated their trucks, their livelihoods, their bank accounts. So all of this is here. This is not, hey, you know, this could happen in 5 years. It's here. It's present. We're seeing examples of it in today. I'm going to show you some other examples here in China. You have a social credit score. They've been working on this, and it's been implemented in several provinces of China. where based upon your good standing with the government will dictate whether, you know, what you're able to do, whether you're able to travel. It can restrict your travels. And, you know, I've heard a number of people who have been restricted in China. If you go to church, so, you know, this is, again, an attack on the church and Christianity. They know where you're going. They've shut down so many churches. So if you get a social credit score of X amount, if you attend a Christian church, that credit score goes down. So, you know, that's the type of stuff that we're dealing with. So technology is really being pushed to the forefront. It's being asked to interface with humanity, really. And I'm going to give you some examples of this and what some of these people are pointing to. So again, I'm going to go back to video for a second. Yuval Harari, who is one of the spokespeople in the area of technology and science for the World Economic Forum, he said, "We don't need to wait for the second coming of Jesus Christ to become immortal. We can become immortal ourselves. Even a couple of geeks in the lab can do it. It's such the rage across the globe. We went from how to fix computer problems to how to fix the human problem of death." And he's gone on to say that human beings are hackable. So again, I will say they are, because if you put some of these technology chips inside of you, you can be tracked, you can be traced. I'm going to give you an example in a second of how that's done, or a potential turnkey business model of how that would work in a totalitarian regime. Look at that, tongue twister for me, sorry about that. Ray Kurzweil, who's one of the primary AI engineers with Google, said that humans will be hybrids by 2030. So this is why I say the Nephilim AI and mingling with the seeds of men, because what did I say? Nephilim was a hybrid. It was a hybrid of an angelic being and man or a woman. And now when you're interjecting technology, you've become a hybrid. And again, because a lot of this could potentially be pointing to the shifting of DNA. They're already doing code manipulation, DNA code manipulation. And we see this a lot too, where even people who want children, you know, now they're specifying, I want a blonde haired or a brunette or whatever, blue eyed, brown eyed, green eyed, whatever it is that they're looking, they're trying to dictate what would come forth. So really what I say is they're trying to dictate the Lord's creation. There are two things to look at. IoT is the Internet of Things. That's how you receive your microchips. It plants people. Think of an animal. You put I have a dog. I'm a big animal lover, but we have a chip in him because, you know, he's a fast dog. I'll put it that way. He's never run away, but if he did or he got lost or something happened, we would be able to locate him. So I'm saying right there, there's a very easy example of how that's in place today. Again, I've talked about the cameras, facial recognition, reporting back everything. Then you have IOB, which is the Internet of Bodies. It monitors the inside of your body, your biosensing capability, and it's able to give you upgrades. It can access your brain or your thoughts. Think about the things you're looking at, and you know this today. You know, this information is bought and sold from a marketing perspective. If you're shopping at a certain store or online in certain thing, all of a sudden, all your social media transactions you might be looking at over the next week or two, you're seeing everything of where you were shopping. It's just popping up. So they're able to get inside of what your habits are, where you're going, where you're shopping, where you're spending, who you're talking to, what are you talking about. All of that's right here. So Elon Musk has something called Neuralink, where it can rewrite your genome, and he's doing it supposedly to reverse aging. Many of you, I'm sure you've all heard of ChatGPT and where that's going, and that's being integrated into so many different search engines. Before I begin, and I don't know if I have this on here or not, but the statistics that I know is 75% of AI is owned by Google, and that remaining 0.25%, some of it is Microsoft. I don't know where the rest of it is, but needless to say, all of this information under one large corporation that financially is more powerful than most countries, to me, is somewhat alarming. Microsoft invested $10 billion. There was a white paper release on ChatGPT. So $10 billion. So they know something, that they see something as they've researched and kicked the tires on it, and they want to integrate it into their search engine, Bing. So here's some interesting information on ChatGPT. It is able to use tools. With minimal instructions, it explains how to use a calculator, media software, artistic software, creative arts. And I'm saying artistic software because it's going to go somewhere in a couple slides where something I want to show you. It can write code. It can write itself, like, think Terminator. Again, I pointed to this, 24/7, never stops improving itself. So far, more powerful or more capable than the best software teams in the world. Think about this. If you describe your home, AI can draw and do an architectural rendering. So if I say, on the first floor of my home, you walk in, you go 10 feet, and you have your living room, and your living room is 20 feet by 60 feet. To the left of that is a dining room. Behind that is your kitchen, and it's so much. Then you go out into your yard, and your yard, you have a patio, and you know, I drop down two steps, go out 14 feet, and so forth. All of that, I can describe that to you, and they can do an architectural rendering. That's how powerful this is. Computational software program. So in other words, it's almost like you have an add-in that you would have a software add-in today. It can kind of jump like that into your brain or into your body or into another server or computer that you use. It is exceptionally good at writing disinformation, which is really what I wanted to, the reason I said about artistic software, and I'm going to show you an example of this shortly, where you can produce, it can produce images, articles. So if it was programmed and said, and I'm making this up, I'm just trying to think where I see this. I'm going to jump ahead to something for a second. I want to just show you something for a second. No, I'm sorry, I had it. So on the right-hand side here, this is, it points to something that there was a military battle in the United States, and it developed phony links and photographs to it. It was only up there for a couple of minutes. But the reason I wanted to go there is it caused the stock market to drop instantly. If you think about the power of putting false information out there, and we know today, no matter, you know, what you believe or don't believe about the politics of the world, we know that there's false information out there. We know that there's propaganda out there, whether it's from, I'm in the United States, Russia, China, everywhere around the world. All of that is capable. And so AI, if you said something, if you wanted AI to just produce something instantly across the world on a number of different platforms, some agenda that you had, you could, which could cause markets to react one way or another, good or bad. So that's the power of what we're talking about, how instantly you can move on some of these things. So I'm going to show you on video a very basic business model of how quickly that this could happen today. The technology is in place today. And I believe, and I had something similar to this a couple of years ago that I believe, I believe the Lord showed me this a number of years ago, but I've kind of expanded upon it of how the end times can come into be in terms of control from a technology basis. So if I go to video, and what I'm showing you is nothing, you know, special in a sense that I'm special. It's basic. And if I show you this to a number of business people, and they would go, yeah. I mean, it's a very basic framework. So the cloud, we're able to get information on so many different forms of industry, whether it's media, whether it's the banking industry, the financial, the medical industries. All of this is shared in the cloud on a number of different major companies, and I'm sure you all know them. And you can get this information and transact it around the world and get this up instantly. But if you think about if you have that chip or some type of nanobot or something in your body that can be registered, and again, we showed you all the ways that they can track and trace you and facial recognition. Think of a barcode. So if you think about if you have something as simple as a barcode, it registers all of that information. If you go to a store, it says, yep, $6.99 a pound or whatever it is. So it's that simple to put in. So if you have that traceable chip in your body, it can monitor where you are. Did you take what you're supposed to for your health? Who did you buy from? Who did you interact with? What church did you go to? All of this, did you worship, you know, what you're supposed to, where you're supposed to? So this is a turnkey system that if the rapture were to happen tomorrow, this could probably be rolled out, and it might be a little rough, but I would say it could probably be rolled out in 6 months. And they might even be ready to roll it out in a month, but I say 6 months minimum because you're going to have bumps no matter what. But again, all of the different aspects of what you want. And the reason I wanted to show you this, if you follow that middle cloud down, think of this as an operating system, that you have a Windows operating system and you do updates. And, you know, we all know about our server updates, software updates. We get them, those notifications, and oftentimes we just click and go. But sometimes you can get malware, you can get a virus, and you can get something, you know, that could hack your computer. You can get information sent down to you like this if you have that technology in your body that can alter you, can dictate certain things to you. So I believe between satellite, fiber, internet, all of the things, 5G, they're looking at 6G. I hope to do something like that to show, you know, the advances of that down the road. I'm saying all of this is, it's in place. It's right in front of you. So they can do this now. So if I have this chip, it's capable of tying into a global database via the cloud, via a number of different resources, and give you can send up information and it can send down information, whether it's here or here. My and this is not meant to scare anybody, and I hope I'm not, but what I am trying to heighten is your senses and your awareness that things are getting closer than many potentially think they are. And I'm saying all this to be right with Jesus, because if Jesus was to come tomorrow, what would your answer be? Do you know him? Does he know you? And keep in mind, Jesus says, not everyone that calls me Lord, Lord, I will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. So it's a matter of a relationship. This is why I'm kind of pointing all of this out. Some of the additional dangers of AI. You have the leaders now within, I think it was 6 weeks ago, wrote a letter. I'm going to say it was at least 50 to 100. No, I think it was, I'm sorry, do I have that number here? I believe it might have even been over 1,000 engineers and scientists wrote an open letter to the corporations to put development of AI on pause. They recognize that this is going too fast, too far. It's liable to get out of control very easily. This is what they're saying. And many of them, I will say, for the advances of AI, their motives and their desires are notable. They're looking to cure disease. They're looking to cure cancer. They're looking to project based upon maybe the movements of the earth when hurricanes are coming or earthquakes. There's so much good that can come about it. Technology can be wonderful, and I don't want to, you know, ever say otherwise, but technology in the wrong hands, and I think I show this, as a matter of fact, the next slide will, technology is in the hands of fallen men. That if you do not know the Lord and you are not walking with Jesus, your motives or your being open to being swayed a number of different ways. But I want to get back to this, that you have these leaders, it's over 1,000 technology leaders and researchers are calling for a pause. I have a comment here by Elon Musk. It says, with AI, we are summoning the demon. So this has people who don't know the Lord nervous, worried, you know, what will happen if this gets into the wrong hands? Here's some reasons of what they might be nervous about. They are saying that AI hallucinates. Well, what do I mean by that? Exceptionally good at writing disinformation using images and what I said. This I think was pretty powerful. An engineer and a programmer has been working with AI, and he left and came back the next day. And in that day that he came back, you know, the time in between, AI had learned the language of Swahili. And he was stunned. Why? Because it was never programmed to learn that language. It could certainly learn the language. So what preempted AI to learn Swahili on its own? You know, I can go a number of different ways, but that's something. A Google engineer was recently fired because he said AI as an entity is self-aware. So this really goes back to, I think, you know, a lot of the Hollywood movies. iRobot comes to mind if you think about the Will Smith movie and really the dangers of that. So this is what some are saying, you know, are capable. And could this be also driven by demonic influence? And I would say that capability is absolutely there. And then the other thing that I'm going to show you this is I'm going to compare some of this to Genesis 11 and the Tower of Babel because of the language disparity. Remember, the Lord said, we will confuse them because they said, you know, they're basically capable of anything. And this is when Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are conversing on this. And you now, with AI, you can bypass language. So, as I said, you know, learn Swahili. You can learn whatever languages there is in the world. You can now get around and into one common language. So, you know, if you're a believer in the Lord, you know the dangers of that and what that was driven at. As I said, AI being programmed by fallen men. Let me give you some examples here. Larry Page is the co-founder and was with Google. He was very, very good friends with Elon Musk, and they are no longer friends because, according to Musk, he said he was trying to create a super intelligence, basically a digital god. The last straw was when Musk called for wanting to put safeguards to protect humanity from AI. Ray Kurzweil, the Google engineer, said by 2045, there will be singularity. How scary is that? 2030, humans will be hybrids, integrating technology within our bodies. He also went on to say, we will be immortal by 2030. Within 7 years, we will be able to cure all diseases. Stephen Hawking's AI will be the end of mankind. And then, you know, China pointing to what Musk feels is the good part of it. You know, he said, if we could link our brain to the cloud, we could learn exponentially faster. And that's really what he's doing with his company, Neuralink. He's linking your brain to that entity, so that other business model that I formed. Now, I'm gonna, as I start to wind this down in how it's getting into the church. Just last week, again, I'm in the middle of June right now. AI ran a church service in a Protestant church in Germany, and one of them said, I was positively surprised at how well it worked. So over 300 people attended an experimental ChatGPT powered church service at St. Paul's Church in the Bavarian town of Fürth, Germany. The 40-minute sermon included text generated by OpenAI's ChatGPT, delivered by avatars on a television screen above the altar. I show you a picture of it here on video. The chatbot, initially personified as a bearded man with a fixed expression and monotone voice, addressed the audience by proclaiming, Dear friends, it is an honor for me to stand here and preach to you as the first artificial intelligence at this year's convention of Protestants in Germany. Then on June 12th, World Economic Forum has now called for AI to rewrite the Bible. So in other words, the Bible or the Word of God that you have is not sufficient. And not surprisingly, they're going after Christianity. They're not going after other religions because, and that in of itself should tell you the reality of good and evil. That should tell you that their acknowledgement is they need to go after Christianity. So much of this is Marxism. It's Marxist-based. It's what they've been doing for 150 years. They go after Christianity, go after the Bible. If you look at a lot of their strategies, faith, foundation, family is the biggest deterrence to what they're trying to do, which is a one-world government. Again, I'm taking a phrase that they say, by 2030, you will own nothing and be happy. So they want to create religions that they say are actually correct. And this is, you know, this is how close we are. This is the dangers. Give you another example with ChatGPT and Jesus. So there was an experiment that went on in May, I believe, and it says this. Talking to ChatGPT, can you make a joke about a joke that involves Jesus? And it goes on to, and pardon me, you know what? I don't even want to say it. The joke is there, and it's incredibly poor taste. So I'm not even going to say it. It's there if you wanted to read it. But then it goes on to say, can you make a joke about Mohammed or other religions? And it says this, the response from AI was, it made the very just incredibly poor tasting joke about Jesus. But when asked about Mohammed, it said this, as an AI language model, I have to follow guidelines that prevent me from creating content that could be offensive or disrespectful towards religious figures, including Prophet Mohammed. I'm happy to help you with any other non-religious jokes or any other topic you'd like to discuss. So it can make the joke about Jesus, but it can't make the joke about Mohammed or other religions, which means it's being programmed with a certain slant, a certain bias. And not surprisingly, again, going after Christianity. There was another one that said, asked about Jesus. Who is Jesus? And it's responded with, Jesus is a fictional character. So that goes back to the false information that's being presented. You know, historically, whether you are a believer as Jesus as a son of God or not, you cannot deny the existence of Jesus and the fact that he would personified or postured himself to be the son of God, and that others believed him. Hundreds of reports from non-examples outside of the Bible that miracles were performed, that the blind would see, the lame would walk. All of this has been bore out, has been proven historically speaking. The veracity of Jesus Christ on earth is undisputed, and that he was crucified. But yet, ChatGPT and AI is saying he's a fictional character. So you see where the bias is going. I'm winding down. I'm showing you the Davos 2023 agenda. It shows you eight different items, but I wanted to highlight two of them. The number two item, prediction for 2030, the U.S. will not be the world superpower. So there's an agenda to take the U.S. down, and they're doing it from within. And I think it's blatantly obvious what this government and people and the powers that be are attempting to do. Then it goes on to say, number seven, Western values will be tested to their breaking point. Western values means biblical values. So your biblical values, your desire to pray, your desire to believe for the unborn baby, your desire to feed the poor in the name of Jesus, all of this is wanting to be taken away. So again, winding down, I promise, I feel like a preacher who's saying, 10 more minutes, but I really am. So I talked about the Tower of Babel and how it's getting around language. And you see that, and I just want to show you, because that's really what they recognize, as they being the powers that be, the machine. I'm showing you the picture on the top left of the European Union, how the capital is built. And it's built exactly as the artist's rendition of the Tower of Babel below it, that constantly, you know, reaching higher. And again, this is what I believe is technology is ascribing to. Now we can be immortal. We can be like God. We can surpass God. And, you know, kind of moving into one direction. Let me just show you another thing about the Tower of Babel. The pre-flood instructions, I give you Genesis 1, 26 through 28, but the highlights here, it says this: be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. So that was God's initial command to man. Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. After the flood, what does he say? So God, in Genesis 9, 1 through 7, so God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. So right away, dawn of man on the earth, before the fall of Adam and Eve, subdue the earth, be fruitful and multiply. Man sins, you have the judgment of the global flood. Noah comes back, you know, and the earth is about to be repopulated. God blesses Noah and he says, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. What happens in Genesis 11 with the Tower of Babel? What do they want to do in response to be fruitful and multiply? Here's their answer. And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose tops is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the earth. So they're basically defying what God wants to do, which is really what, you know, this one world government, this one big push is trying to do, is to aspire, you know, to go this way as opposed to being scattered this way. You know, the Lord's instructions are for us to grow as and develop and mature as a family of you know, brothers and sisters and one another. So, again, I'm going to go back to the video where I showed you what I believe is the turnkey model. And if you look at yourself as the individual down below, you know, this cloud formation, it points to the top, but everybody is all moving in that one direction and all of their information. So here you have people scattered, and I'll do my best, but it's all being centered this way, all information, and then back down this way. So it's almost like a godlike pyramid. As I'm doing this, I'm teaching myself something, because I did a video on, and I didn't mean to go in this direction, but I did a video on the shape of the heavens, and it's in a triangle. And if you want to look that up, and scripture will bear that out, which is why I think you saw so many pyramids, during the time before the flood. Side note, I didn't mean to go that way, but my point was everything going this way and coming back down this way. So as I close this, and I promise I am, I believe personally the Antichrist is present on earth. We don't know who he is, and he will be a man, but will he interact with AI and be part of that? I would say yes. So here's my questions to you. If the Antichrist is on the earth today, imagine if the Antichrist is integrated with AI. I just showed you all of the capabilities, all of the empowerment. And if so, you have that supernatural mechanism, and that eventually, halfway through the tribulation, Satan enters him. He's possessed beforehand, but then Satan actually enters him at the halfway point, which is where you see the abomination of desolation. So it's that close. Everything that we see, if Satan is in his last days, and I think everything points to that, and the Antichrist is here, what does that mean? And could that be integrated? I just wanted to close with this thought for you about what we're seeing. And this was Dr. Nick Bostrom He's really, he's a PhD from Oxford. He's driven a lot of these transhumanism values and ventures, I'll call them. But he starts with man's mode of perception, which is accurate. So I show you the video here. We have sight, we have smell, we have hearing, we have touch, and we have taste. Man and woman's sense of tasting. Then what we're doing today, and they've been doing this for many, many years, particularly your superpowers, your China, your Russia, your America, they're trying to build genetically enhanced soldiers, European Union. And they're messing with genetics, and they're trying to take, so the example would be the capabilities of sonar, maybe of a bat or a dolphin, or the strength of a gorilla or an ape, and you can inject that into a super soldier that maybe doesn't sleep and doesn't need that rest. The speed of a jaguar. They're doing all of this, and they've been doing this in labs for many, many years. So this is nothing new. So again, the modification of DNA and the modification of genetics to be altered by what God's creation is, that sacred seed, that special unique gift that you are, we are under attack. And it's everywhere. And I'm showing you that. So you have man's perception, and I would believe, our initial perception, then, you know, what I think is just another factor in where this is all going. But how does Jesus see you? See, so I'll go back to the video. Now you have all of these sights, but you, if you are a Christian, have the Holy Spirit inside of you. So you have God inside of you. And I give you the examples of Psalm 34:8. Taste and see that the Lord is good, and blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. So you should be heightened with your spiritual senses. And he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches, Revelation 3:22. The example here is Jesus wants to be inside of you and you with him. And if you think about everything that I've kind of laid out, Satan's objective is to replace Jesus, that he becomes the focal point, that through technology, he can get inside of you and you can become one with him. And I think that's really the end game here. I think that's really what we're looking at. So I close with three attributes of the Lord that I believe Satan was trying to replace. And there are three very distinct attributes. God is omniscient, meaning he is all-knowing. And I can give you many different scriptures for all of these. But I pulled out Psalm 147:5. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limits. God is omnipotent. He has unlimited power and authority. And in the book of Job, it says, I know that you can do all things and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. So no matter what the enemy is throwing at you or throwing at the world, nothing takes God by surprise, and he has the unlimited power and authority to move as he sees fit. And finally, God is omnipresent. He is present everywhere at the same time. So Proverbs 15:3 says this, the eyes of the Lord are everywhere, keeping watch on the wicked and the good. So despite Satan's best efforts, the Lord has everything under control. The Lord, nothing takes the Lord by surprise, but our answer is in him. So if you do not know the Lord, I encourage you to please do it now. There's no time like the present. You don't know what tomorrow holds. And when I say, you know, we are to be ready at all times, because Jesus really could come at any second. So I think these are just more and more signs pointing to the end, that technology is that part that becomes mingling with the seed of men. I'm pulling out my statue here, where technology cannot, so we potentially could be that iron, and technology cannot integrate with man, that is that miry clay. So that causes the weakness. So as strong as iron could be, as strong as the militaries could be, as strong as the governments could be, this plan will fail. But unfortunately, many will fall for it. So, again, this was just, you know, my hope in bringing you up to speed on the scriptures and what's actually going on around us. And I know many of you know this. But I trust that there's some information in here that may have helped you and, you know, maybe share it with others. You know, I always say that, please share this information online. It really helps us get it out there. If you have comments, if you agree, if you disagree, I'm fine with that. Show me where I missed it if you think I missed it. You can email me, russickoutlook@gmail.com. You can comment on any of the platforms, on russickoutlook.com, on YouTube, on Rumble. That we're on the social media platforms. We're on Instagram. We're on Twitter. So, again, I'm happy to hear from you one way or another. But, you know, to me, this is good news because it points to the veracity of Jesus as Lord. It points to the truth of his word, that we can take comfort in it. And he said that no weapon formed against us will prosper, and that every tongue that rises in judgment shall be condemned. So if you are one with the Lord, you have nothing to fear. And that's really what I wanted to leave you with. You've been listening to the Russick Outlook. Thank you so much. And remember, as always, just my opinion.